Let's take our Bible this morning, if you would, and turn to the book of Ephesians today as we look at the matter of defeating the enemy. In Ephesians chapter number 6, we saw last time entitled the message, Preparing for Battle, Knowing Your Enemy. And today I would like for us to look at the matter of preparing for battle and defeating the enemy. We have an enemy that stands against us and against the things of God, and we're told in this particular section of Scripture how that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, the enemy that longs to destroy the work of God. He longs to destroy the people of God. He wants to destroy the faith that we have, and we want to look at this today. We'll pick up in verse 13 as we look at this matter of the armor of God, but I want us to go back at verse 10 as we find these words. He says, Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Again, our strength and our power is found in the Lord. We are not in a battle are left to ourselves, and we must realize this, that our strength and our power is in the Lord. Then he says, Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness, the rulers of the darkness, of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We saw that, how that our enemy is not just Satan, but Satan has a cohort, innumerable number given him, these rulers of darkness and the things that he's doing. But verse 13 says, Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, knowing then that we have an enemy, knowing that our strength is in the Lord, we're to take the whole armor of God. That's something that we must do. We'll look at this. When we become saved, I'm talking about believers now that are born again, an unbeliever has no power to fight against Satan. You must be born again. If you're not born again, you're already defeated. But there's power in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that is available through faith in him. We come to know Christ, and now we've been equipped with the armament, if you would, to fight Satan. But having the armament and the resources is of no value if we don't apply them. Think about that. If you look at the military and what we have in our country, Paul is sitting in a jail cell writing to the believers in Ephesus, and he's chained to a guard who is a Roman soldier. So with that thought in mind, I can see how that Paul looked over at this soldier, and he began to think about the armament that was available to him, how he was dressed, what he had available to fight in time of need. And again, you and I are in a battle. Satan, as I said, had us prior to our salvation. Now we have been defeated. He's a defeated foe through Jesus Christ, but he strives to draw us back and to, if you would, to help us, disqualify us from walking in the things of God, in the Spirit of God, and in the power of God. He wants to destroy that. And we have to do this again. We're to take the whole armor of God, not just one piece, but we're to take the whole armor of God and we're to put it on and to apply it and use it. He says that you may be able to withstand in the evil day and having done all to stand. So we must take the armor of God. We must take it to ourselves that we can oppose in the evil day. Do you think the days are getting better, folks? No. The days aren't getting better. They're getting worse. Not to be a pessimist, but to be a biblicist. In the latter days, there are certain things that are going to occur. And we see this. We see the working of Satan. And this is our hope now, is in the Lord and what we have, the armament of God, and the ability to withstand and to oppose this evil one and his emissaries, if you would, and having done all, to stand. So we're not left just to oppose Satan, but we're left to push him back and to be able to stand in our faith. And we'll look at why we should stand in just a little bit. But he says, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. To begin with, the loins of our body are very important. They're vital organs there. You think about the loins and the belt that covers these. He's talking about having the loins girt about with truth. You and I, as a soldier, I can imagine Paul is looking at this Roman soldier. He has on this protection over his loins. The loins are a very important part of the body. That's where the life is procreated, male and female. And you're looking at having that covered and protected with truth. What is truth? That's what Pilate asked Jesus Christ. The word of God is truth. It's what is truth. Jesus said, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. It will set you free when you hear the things of God, and when you respond to the word of God. And again, the emphasis is being placed on God and what he has said and what he shall do and is doing. That's why he said, wherefore? We know our strength comes from God. Be strong in the Lord. We know our power comes from his might. Take that, put on the whole armor of God, and be able to withstand Satan, and having done all to stand, having our loins girt about with truth. I was sharing in India just a few weeks back. We looked not at this passage of Scripture, but I was saying in general how that the believer, of course we're saved in Christ by faith. We're sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. Thank God for that. As I said, Jesus said that we're in him and he's in the Father, and we're sealed by the Holy Spirit, and we can't get out of that. But Satan wants to defeat us, and God needs a soldier today, man, woman. He needs a Christian. He needs a child of God to stand against the wiles of the devil and to stand in this evil day in which you and I are living. And we cannot stand. We cannot continue to reproduce, if you would, the things of God if Satan gets a hold of the belt of truth and destroys it. And Satan is attacking truth today. We have been, the Word of God has been attacked by the neo-orthodox. By the way, nothing is new under the sun, Solomon said, but this new thinking, this new theology is attacking the Word of God, and God's Word shall stand. So we need to know the Word of God. His Word is truth. His Word is pure, the Bible says in Proverbs 30 and verse number 5. Thy Word is pure. His Word is truth. We need to be able to take in the Word of God. We need to to digest the things of God. Yes, Jesus said, this is my flesh. We're talking about the Word, eating that, digesting that, meditating upon that, and being able to regurgitate it. Think about that. The psalmist said, I meditate on thy word day and night. What do you mean you meditate on it? Like a cow, if you know much about cattle, some do. A cow has more than one stomach. They chew the grass, then they regurgitate it, they chew the cud. And this is what he's saying we're to do. We're to take in the word of God. We ought to digest it. We ought to bring it back and to think on it. And when we're in battle, fighting against Satan, you and I are to stand and we're to use the Word of God. The emphasis is on the Word of God. Being strong in the Lord. Being able to stand against the devil in the power of his might. So we put on, if you would, this belt of truth is the first thing, he says, that we may be able to withstand the devil, and having done all, to stand in the evil day. So having our loins girt about with truth. The next thing is having on the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate of righteousness is not who we are in the Lord, but it's Him inside of us. You and I, Isaiah says in chapter 64 and verse number 6 that our righteousnesses are as filthy rags before God. There's nothing that you and I can do to be right with God, but once we're born again, we're put in Christ and Christ is in us, and now we have His righteousness. And that's to be our breastplate of righteousness. Again, I can imagine the Apostle Paul looking and seeing this and thinking how important that part is. Just as the belt is important to gird the loins, what about the breastplate of righteousness? We've talked about heart issues. The heart's a very important organ, isn't it? It's the life flow, if you would. It's the pump of the blood. It's the muscle that keeps our bodies going. And this breastplate of righteousness is covering that. We're to guard our heart. As a man thinketh in his heart, the scripture says in Proverbs, out of the heart, Jesus said, flows the issues of life. You say, well, I was thinking about that. Yeah, but really, it's a heart matter. What's wrong with the world today? It's the matter of the heart. We see the heart of man is evil and wicked. And yes, he carries out the acts, but it all started in the heart. You say, he drove his car into a crowd and he pulled out a firearm and he shot a number of people. Where does that come from? It comes out of the heart. Out of the heart are the issues of life. We're to guard our heart. We have a new heart. We're to put on the breastplate of righteousness. And then he says, and your feet stand with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We're talking about being able to stand and to withstand. Again, I think about the Apostle Paul maybe looking over at this Roman soldier who had the shoes and the boots strapped onto their feet. And they were, again, very important part of the armament, of the armor of God, is to be able to have be able to stand in a way of battle. You're talking about doing hand-to-hand combat. These men, the Romans. The Romans were vicious people. The Romans had a way of, in that day and era, of being the then-known power of the world. They would pave a road, and they were known for the Roman roads. Why? Because they paved their roads so that their military could be on the spot at any moment. The trouble arises in Jerusalem. Maybe the Jews are going to start a rebellion. Rome was there. Maybe Caesarea, the Romans were there. Wherever there was opposition, they were there. They had, if you would, the right equipment. Again, thinking again about how these Romans dressed and the importance of each piece. And he said that the feet of the believer now is to be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, being prepared to carry the gospel of peace, which is the good news of Jesus Christ, His death, burial, and resurrection. We need to have our feet prepared to do the work of the Lord. Isaiah said, how beautiful are the feet of them that bring the good news of the Word of God. I don't know if you think much about using your feet as the way today we use automobiles and other ways of travel, but the feet and being able to stand, having our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, knowing what we believe, standing on that, having the Word of God in our heart, being able to stand on what we believe and to convey that. To go there, number one, to convey the message, having our feet prepared for that, the preparation of the gospel. Paul, of course, writing to young Timothy, says that we're to be ready in season and out of season. What does that really mean? Well, it kind of sort of like this for the preacher. He needs to be ready to go at any time. What about the believer? Well, let's say that we need to be prepared for the day in which we live. We need to have the feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Let's just suppose that you and I went out to lunch after the service today somewhere, and we were confronted with a person, maybe at a cash register as we're checking out or something, and someone says a word, and we have an opportunity to engage in a conversation. It's amazing how the Holy Spirit will bring to mind what needs to be said at the time. But we need to, he's not going to bring it, he's not just going to give it to us if we aren't prepared. We need to give our minds and hearts to the things of God and read and study God's Word, study to show ourselves approved unto God. And then when the time arises, then we'll be able to say a good word in due season. Solomon said a good word in due season is a wonderful thing. Be able to give a word. Maybe say something. Opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. By the way, that's something that we can do anywhere, at any time, with anyone, if we're prepared for that. And that's what he said. We need to be prepared with the gospel of peace. Above all things, he says, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. It's the shield of faith. Our faith, not ours, but in Christ. And of course, we receive faith to be able to quench, if you would, to shield the fiery darts. Satan is going to fire those darts. I don't know if you know much about the Roman armies of yesteryear, but they had those huge shields. And you can see, again, Paul maybe looking over and seeing this shield. And on the outer edge of the shield, it was made and created so that they could take one shield and lock it into another. And at the bottom, it had a way of being locked into another shield on the top. And they would take these shields, the Roman soldiers would, in battle, and they could make a wall and go forward. You know, I often, it's kind of humorous looking to me. I didn't understand it. Looking back at some of the movies that portray some of the fighting that went on yesteryear, and especially with the British, we all just stand in line and we just keep marching until we say fire, and they just kill us one at a time. And then they finally say fire. Well, how many has died before they say fire? I mean, they had no protection. They're just marching in. The Romans had the shields. They're marching. Can you imagine this wall? You're firing your arrows. You're throwing your stones. You're shooting these huge stones. They've got the shield. They could raise the shield up and lock it into the shield of another. They could protect themselves over their head from the fiery darts of the enemy inside of the city. That Roman shield, Paul said, this is the way the shield of faith works. You and I, as believers, we lock together in faith. We become a multitude. We're not on a journey, a one-man journey. You and I are believers in Christ, and you and I are to take the armament of God, to take these materials that's available to us, and we're to use them against the devil. He said a three-cord rope. You know, we're not just one string, but the more we come together in faith, we become a very unique army of God. We take the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. It's one thing when Satan is firing at just one of us at a time, but when we come together in unity, then we have the power and being able to stand in the face of the adversary. And by the way, God is giving us this. And these are important pieces of material as you think about it again. You've got the belt of truth. You've got the breastplate of righteousness. You've got the feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We've got the shield of faith to quench the fiery darts. And then he said, and take the helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation. And this is what I was saying to those Indian pastors. It's a shame that many have taken the helmet of salvation to save the head. We're saved. We know we're saved, but we are standing naked before the world. Oh, I've got to, I'm saved. I know I'm saved. I can remember the day, the time, and the hour that I got saved. What about being prepared with the gospel of preparation of the gospel of peace? Are your feet shod or are they covered in mud? What do you mean covered in mud? I'm talking about been walking in the world and acting like the world and you're filthy. You don't have on the belt of truth. You don't have on the breastplate of righteousness. Your feet are not protected. No shield of faith, just out there, a big target for Satan, but I'm saved. And it's a shame because we have these things available to us, and he tells us that we're to put them on, and he tells us that we're to be strong in the Lord, and just covering our head or our mind. We need our minds covered. Don't misunderstand me. That helmet of salvation. We need our eyes to be covered in a sense, protected of the things of the enemy, because he can get into the mind. He can. He can cause you to think that you're not saved. Why do I do the things that I do? I thought I was saved. Well, he wants to monopolize on that. He wants to beat you down with it. You have to take the word of God, again, that tells us that as a believer, we're in Christ. There's therefore, present tense, Paul said in Romans 8:1, no condemnation to them who are in Christ. Satan says that's a lie. You wouldn't do what you're doing if you're saved. See, he gets into the mind, and he works on the mind. But we have the helmet of salvation. We must remember, again, it's the word of God. And what God says, we put each piece of this equipment on with prayer. We'll see this later. But he says, we're to take the helmet of salvation. You and I have to do that. All of these pieces of equipment are very important, but it's something that you and I must do. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We have the Word of God. We have the Bible, we call it. The Word of God. It's the sword of the Spirit. And just think how powerful it is. The writer of Hebrews said, in chapter 4 and verse 12, the word of God is quick and sharp to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. We can't even see that. I see you. I see who you are. I don't see your soul or your spirit. It can divide the soul and spirit, the joint and the marrow. I mean, you're talking about a discerning and a weapon here, the word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit. It can bring life. It can bring healing. And this is the word of God. And when we speak the word, thus saith the Lord, the word of God says thus and so. He said it will not return void. It will accomplish what it was set out to do. Again, in Isaiah. And so when we let loose, if you would, the word of God, we need to know what we're doing with it. Not just quoting scripture and having no idea of what it means. But we need to understand how God uses this. It's the Word of God. You give someone the Word of God. You use the Spirit in a wise sense. It's the Word of God. Why should you and I, as believers, why should we do the things that we are seeing here in Ephesians chapter 6? Why is it that we need to be prepared for this? I thought the days were going to get better and Christ would return. Well, we see that's not the fact of the matter. We see that the days are becoming more evil. Paul said in the latter days, in latter times, men would be lovers of self more than lovers of God. We see these things happening. God is not finished with us, or he would have sent for us as a whole. We're talking about the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. When he completes the body, he's going to call us up. But he's not finished with us. So God wants to use us, you and I, in this day in which we live. He wants us to see the need to put on the armor of God. He wants us to see the need of spreading the gospel of peace, the good news of Jesus Christ. He wants us to take the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit and to conquer for Him at this present time. Now, I'm going to give us some background into this also, that the Apostle Paul, who was a Pharisee in his day, raised understanding with a clear understanding, rather, of the Old Testament scriptures. And some of this armament that's mentioned here comes from his understanding that he got from the book of Isaiah. And I'd like for us to look, let's go back this morning, if you would, and look at Isaiah as we think about this matter and what God is saying. Let's turn back to Isaiah chapter 59. This kind of gives us a glimpse of what God is doing and why He wants us to dress and be prepared for this day in which you and I are living. Isaiah chapter 59. I can't read all of the verses today for the sake of time, but you can go back and read. I'll give you some just as a gist of what's being said, and you'll see how this flows together. In Isaiah chapter number 59, he begins in verse number 1. It says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that he cannot hear." So we begin to find out in Isaiah 59, verse 1, that it's not on God's part. We could say that. It's not on God's part that things aren't being done. We look at the world today. I mean, look at the world that you and I live in today. We see how evil continues to manifest itself. But it's not God's fault. "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that he cannot save." It's not that he can't quite reach that guy. I mean, I can't get him. No, he can get him. He can get him from the uttermost to the guttermost, as someone said. It's not that his arm is too short, neither his ear heavy that he cannot hear. It's not like he doesn't hear our prayers. No, God hears the prayers. He says it's your sins in verse number 2 that have separated between you and your God. See, Satan today is using sin of this world to keep God and his most prized possession, man, that he created in his image, keeping man away from God. We see that. It's your sins that separate between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. See, God's not hearing the prayer because sin has separated. God will hear the prayer of a sinner. Don't misunderstand me, but this sin has separated. He said in verse 3, your hands are defiled with blood, your fingers with iniquity, your lips have spoken lies, your tongue hath muttered perverseness. You see the wickedness in the earth today. This is what's taking place. But there's hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. I want us to see that. I want you to understand that God is trying to reach this people today that's lost. He said in verse number 7, "Their feet run to evil. They make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity." Do we see that today? We see it all of the time. You turn on the news, there's another incident. You wonder, how can a person do this? This is the wickedness. This is what Satan is doing in the world today. He says in verse number 11, "We roar all like bears, mourn sore like doves. We look for judgment, but there is none. For salvation, but it is far off from us." They're looking. God is looking down at this world. He sees the corruption that's taking place. He sees the wickedness. He sees the evil. What can he do about it? Well, you say he sent his son. Yes, he did. What did they do with his son? They crucified him. They said, "We'll have no part of this man." The earth, they rejected the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, but thank God for those, we have a way of understanding the Word of God. See, he left and has recorded for us his Word so that we can come to know God. We can believe in Jesus Christ by faith. You and I can be saved. And when we become a child of God, We have Christ living in us now. We are a new person, a new creature in Christ, and we have the ability to withstand this evil world. Why should we stand in this evil world? Because God is not finished. God sees the wickedness of man. God's listening to what's going on. He's waiting for the cry of one to say, "Lord, save me." He's waiting for one to come to know Jesus Christ. But how will they know? How are they going to hear? That's what Isaiah said in one place. How can they hear? How can they know? Well, we see this in verse 14. "And the judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off. For truth is fallen in the street, and iniquity cannot enter." Does that sound like our nation today? Not only our nation, but the world as a whole. He says in verse 14, "Yea, truth falleth, and he that parteth from evil maketh himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment." God sees today that there's no judgment in this earth. He sees this earth is going away from him, but yet he sees it. There's a remnant. There's a people here. We're talking about the believers today that are standing. In Isaiah's day, he didn't see it, but there's hope today because of Christ. He goes on in verse 16, he says, "And he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness, it sustained him." There was no man that could do right other than when Christ Jesus came. And now he brought salvation to himself. He sent his only begotten Son. He came into this world. Jesus died on the cross so that man could have salvation. Now God has a purpose or a people, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, who can stand in righteousness against the lies of the devil. And there are those who need to see the goodness of the Lord and what God has done for us. He said in verse 17, "For he put on the righteousness as a breastplate and helmet of salvation upon his head, and he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing and was clad with zeal as a cloak." See, Jesus came and brought salvation to this world. And his righteousness, as the scripture says, once we're born again, he clothes us in his righteousness. We're not standing with the breastplate of righteousness in anything that you and I have done, but we can stand in the strength and the power of the Lord according to his word. And while we're in this world filled with people on their way to eternal judgment, hell, and then the lake of fire, you and I can take the gospel, go with our feet, shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You and I can go and to deliver people out of this darkness and bring them to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to go back further into Isaiah. Go back to Isaiah chapter number 6. You remember the story. Isaiah's caught up, and he heard the voice of the Lord. And this is the same working of God. God's working today as he did in Isaiah's day. God is looking for one to stand and to go and to take the word. One to stand with the sword of the Spirit. One to stand with the shield of faith and say, "Thus saith the Lord." And bring deliverance to those who are in darkness. In Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 8 it says, "Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" He's talking about the triune Godhead, God the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Who's going for us? Who's going today for Christ? Who's going today for God the Father? Who's going today for God the Holy Spirit? Who will I send? And he said, "Go and tell this people." In other words, Isaiah answered the call, said, "Here am I, send me." We see today that God needs us in this world. God wants us to bring the gospel of peace to all people. Who's going today? Well, we can't do it in our flesh. How are we going to do it? We need to, as a believer, we need to stand. We need to put on the belt of truth. We need to get the breastplate of righteousness. We need to put on the helmet of salvation. Put on a shield of faith, take it, take the sword of the Spirit, and we need to go. He's looking for someone today who will go. You don't have to go to Africa or India or anywhere else. What about just going across the street? And he said, "Go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not. and see you indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert and be healed. See, we need to go and take the gospel. And then Isaiah asked a question in verse 11. He said, Lord, how long? How long do you want me to do this? This is where we are today. Hey, I'm in my 90s. How long do you want me to do it? Until the cities be wasted without inhabitants? And the houses without a man? And the land be utterly desolate? How long, Lord? I thought we were increasing in numbers. He said, yeah, but you go until there's not any. You go until there's none left. In other words, keep going. Folks, this goes back to what he's saying in Ephesians. Keep standing. Oh, I stood for the Lord until what? I retired. Some pastors say, I retired. I was talking with a man from Africa yesterday. He said, I retired. What chapter is that found in, please, sir? We're not retired until we're retired. We're not retired until he takes us up. We need to stand for the Lord. He's looking. Isaiah said, I'll be the one to go. I'll stand. Real quickly in Ezekiel, I'll mention this scripture. God is about to judge his own people in the book of Ezekiel. And he talks with the prophet about this. And he tells how they've multiplied their sins and what they're doing to the people. And then he asks the question. Rather, he makes a statement in Ezekiel 22 and verse 30. He said, and I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap. Think with me. We've got the shield of faith. We can lock our shields together. We can make a hedge. You know what a hedge is? It's a row that's made. Many people used to plant privy hedge. That's a dangerous stuff. Ooh, it'll take over. But they planted privy hedge and they kept it trimmed to do what? It made a boundary for the yard. And they had an opening where you could walk up to the house. Other than that, you didn't want to climb over the privy hedge. God's looking for a man, a woman, a people today that will make up the hedge. You and I can lock our shields of faith together and we can say, we're not going to let the devil get in. He said, I look for a man to make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land that I should not destroy it, but I found none. See, they were living in wicked days. And God's saying, I'm going to judge this people. And he's looking for someone that says, please, Lord, just a little longer. See, we're not locking our shields together to keep out the enemy. In one sense, yes. But Jesus said the gates of hell would not prevail against the church. That's not the church locked down saying, let's keep Satan out. We're doing all we can to keep Satan out. No, we're to be going forward in the Lord. He's looking for a man to stand in the gap. He's looking for one to make up the hedge. He's looking for believers who will take the things of God, apply them to their body, apply them to your life, and make a difference in this day of evil. And folks, that's where we are. We need to be willing to say, Lord, I want to step back into the firing line. If you've stepped out and taken a break, say, Lord, I want to get back with the program. And folks, we need to stand together today in the strength of the Lord. We need to encourage one another in the Word of God. You know, the Bible says thus and so, and say, amen. Let's work together. Let's do our part till the Lord calls us home. Amen. Let's stand together today, if you would, as we think about the whole armor of God. Again, being used by God. If we're not careful, sometimes we get lazy. We know what we should do, but we haven't been doing it. And we need to ask the Lord to forgive us. Father, I'll be the first to say, I want to do more than I've done. I want to be used more by you than I've ever been used. I want to be prepared for that opportunity, Lord, when someone or somebody says something, Lord, to say what truth is. Not in a harsh, critical way, but in love, Lord. Help us to see the lost as the people once we were. How we once were that way. and have compassion upon the lost, but help us to stand for truth, Lord. And today we need your help. So, Father, I pray this morning for these, my brothers and sisters in Christ, that we would stand together against the wiles of the devil. And, Father, that we would glorify our Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.